The Eureka Springs Historical Museum, over the decades, has become a rich repository for local artifacts, photos, and documents. But the rundown three-story hand-cut limestone building had become more of a warehouse, stocked with antique cases and cabinets crammed with collections. But thanks to several inspired new museum board members, the institution has been transformed. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has more.
Ironic that one of the most historied small towns in Arkansas has, for years, operated a museum which looked more like a flea market. Well-intentioned staff with few financial resources have made it work, accommodating thousands of tourists and residents seeking to learn local history. But several years ago, when retired gallery owners Rick and Sarah Armellini joined the board, they brought with them a vision: restore the museum and bring it forward into the 21st century.
Okay. Sarah Armellini, I'm president of the board of directors of the Eureka Springs Historical Museum.
This morning, Sarah Armellini kindly provides us a tour, starting with the entrance bookstore and gift shop. For $5, you can enter the museum through a beckoning archway.
What we have now is that this is one big room, and we have blocked it off where it's now a trail through that one big room. And when you come in the front door, instead of seeing everything, there's a mystery. There's an arch you have to go through, and then the tour begins, and it is self-guided.
Sarah and husband Rick, a skilled photographer, volunteered hundreds of hours designing the narrative placards, illustrated with archived postcards and photographic images they found in the museum's collection. All the clutter is gone, replaced with exemplary artifacts. The storyboards draw you through the history of Eureka, roughly divided into four major periods: pre-settlement indigenous presence, a gilded 19th century Victorian spa era when thousands came by wagon and train to take the healing Coldwater Springs. The third era saw the town literally collapse under the Great Depression, but the New Deal attracted artists and folklorists who staged an annual folk festival reviving the town, which is now completely restored, filled with accommodations and shops, and inhabited by a diverse cosmopolitan culture. The refurbished museum colorfully divulges the entire tale now. Terry Miller, a museum board member, and son-in-law Ricky Wagoner oversaw the renovation, donating a good chunk of their time. The freshly painted wooden stairway to the second floor reminds visitors of the age of this cut limestone building, established as the Califf House.
The building was built in 1898. It was built by Samuel Califf. It was built to be a residence for his family, a retail shop, it was like a general store, and then some of the upper floors they used to rent out for extra income. It was purchased by the Elks Club in the 50s, and at that time, they sort of changed it. They tore the front of the building off, cemented the windows, put a cinder block entryway to it, tore off the porches, took out the center stairway, and that was their lodge room. They needed that big open space. So in 1971, when the Folk Festival people bought the building, they had to replace all that. They brought it back, and we have photos downstairs that'll show you the before and the what happened and then the after. So a lot of money and time was put into this building, and the building was given to us by the Folk Festival group. They had made money over the years and wanted to give back to the community, and they found this building and started the museum. They had lots of people help them come in, fix it up, bring artifacts, and then they turned it over to the Museum Association.
The second floor was remodeled several years ago with grant funding, the roof and plaster walls repaired. The entrance hallway contains several themed glassed-in display cases.
But when we renovated the second floor is when we kind of moved collections around. Where we're standing now, this is schools, the different schools that have been here in Eureka, the college, Crescent College for Girls, which was the Crescent Hotel. So for a while it served as a home to the college. Then we have some sort of miscellaneous artifacts that people have given us, like doctor's supplies. This was used by Dr. John in his office. It's a machine that was developed by Tesla, which a lot of people are familiar with his work in electricity. And I don't know exactly what it does. They say remove skin blemishes, but I can't quite figure out how. It's got levers and dials and coils and all kinds of things, and I don't think I'd let it near me.
On the north side of the second floor stands a new gallery space dedicated to Eureka's historic artists. In the 1930s, Louis Friend, a WPA artist, came to Eureka with his wife Elsie to open an art summer school. Today, nearly 300 artists make their living in Eureka Springs. Friend's work, of course, is featured in the gallery, as are the highly collected 1950s landscape paintings by Glenn and Fred Swedlin. Another exhibit holds dozens of photo portraits of Eureka artists, taken by Betty Maffei, some living, some gone, including Glenn Gant, Tommy Thomas, Ken Addington, Doug Stowe, and Mary Jane Beggs.
Currently over at Crystal Bridges, they have a year-long exhibit up showing artifacts from five different area museums, and we were fortunate enough to be chosen as one of them. So we have some artifacts from the Folk Festival. We have a painting by Elsie Friend, one by Ken Addington. We've got ceramics by Charlie Stem, and we've got some strange things like a banjo made out of a dish pan that was one of the folk instruments that was used at the festival when it began, and some Ozarka artifacts, Ozarka water, which started here.
You end the tour across from the gallery in the Pioneer Room.
A few pieces are more current, like we have a dresser from the Crescent Hotel, which was probably from the turn of the century, but some of these pieces date back further to when people were homesteading up here in the early or middle 1800s. We've got a weaving loom that was brought over from Sweden 150 years ago, and it was used to teach at the Art School of the Ozarks at Hatchett Hall when the Louis and Elsie Friend had their art school there. We've got a strange little thing that's a mechanized churn that one of the people who had a dairy here used to churn their butter.
Glass cupboards are filled with toys and dolls. Beautiful quilts adorn the walls and bed. For now, the third floor is closed off to the public.
The third floor has one, two, three, four, about five rooms up there that's full of things. One room has a great deal of textiles, a lot of garments that we really don't have the ability to display properly that we hope to do something with in the future. And then another one is all paper, newspapers and different paper memorabilia from the past. We have files and files and files of photographs, but then there's other things like people will bring in their grandfather's tools or grandma's sewing machine or mother's hat or something like that. It's just full of stuff like that that has been assessed, but it needs to be gone through again and sort of weeded out and, you know, maybe bring it back to light. A lot of things that are downstairs right now were upstairs, and we brought them out to show people because they'd kind of been forgotten or hidden. We're all volunteers, and it is hard to take care of the collection. I mean, we value everything we have. It's just that we can't always display it all at once.
A crew of college students recently helped to organize the relic repository upstairs. A museum reopening was held June 9th. It attracted more than 300 visitors. The cost of renovation, which has not been disclosed, has been funded in part by the annual Voices from Eureka Silent City, a living history tour staged in the village cemetery.
We have no funding from the city, state, county, federal government, so we depend on memberships, donations, grants, and anything else that we can rustle up.
So memberships, just $25 a year, are encouraged. Museum Director Stephen Sinclair is usually on hand to answer any questions. Otherwise, visitors are free to explore Eureka's remarkable history at their leisure. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Eureka Springs Historical Museum is open Monday through Saturday from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Admission is $5 for adults, free for children 18 and under. For more, visit EurekaSpringsHistoricalMuseum.org.